Is he didn't finish the transcript yet, right? Well, that's
No.
but is the thing missing?
Yeah, let me. There we go.
Hello and welcome to Hawaii Island Barrel Council meeting Thursday, April 18, 2024 at 9:30 a.m. This meeting will be held using interactive conference technology on the section 92-3.7 HRS. Board members, staff, applicants, testifiers, and public can choose to participate in person at the Division of Forestry and Wildlife Conference Room, Kauili Street in Hilo, or via Zoom or by telephone. Okay, we're going to call to order. Just a reminder again, always be respectful, the one speaker at a time, and stay on point. And roll call. I'll start off Scott Mahoney, representing Kohala. Next.
Ako des, representing Kau.
Kalena Blakemore, Puna.
Trey Vanapiki, Hilo.
Lakrivelo, Kona.
Good. Yeah, any other guests here yet?
Aloha,
or just council members? And you're with who? With what?
Just an interested party in the process.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, the minutes haven't been done yet, so we're going to have to skip over that. And yeah, I want to ask Shifty, is there any reason why those minutes aren't ready?
No, I just didn't finish the written portion of the minutes. The audio files are on my own website.
Yeah, we can add them on next month's meeting. Okay, that's good.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, if we can pay out in Kapule.
Okay, go ahead.
Pule kako au hea e na maka o kalani, e mali umai e nei a lea pule, e leo haa, e leo ho mai ka e no hoi, e maalama mai a mako a palekana, a puka e ao maalama lama, a puka, a mene, a mene, a mene.
So we'll guess, Keiki, why don't you introduce yourself? We start.
Okay, I want to give you one of the living descendants of Mukai in an agenda. You only can zoom in. You can stay working.
See him on.
Hello.
Yeah. Thanks. What are you, Damon?
How's it?
Why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, aloha, my name is first of all, mahalo for this opportunity. My name is Damon Kenson. I live in Okina, South Kona, Hawaii. I'm president of Kahua Ko Ohana Association. Our two goals are to perpetuate our Kopelo Kino fishing culture and to malamana kopuna iwi at Okena and Kawako.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Okay, we'll get on to the business part. Item A, request by Vice Chair Blakemore to discuss Hawaii Island Barrack Council's letter to the Department of Interior regarding ownership and jurisdiction of the Kapo Kumukahi Lighthouse Access Road in Kumukahi Kula Apua Puna District, Island of Hawaii. We start off with Kalena then.
Okay, good morning.
You can open that one.
Just to give a little background on this item, because I just want to give clarity to what the letter was written about. In 1999, there was desecration at Kumukahi at a burial complex. We have two lineal descendants in our meeting today that are attending. The issue was never resolved. The EV were never returned yet because we're having issues with who the property owners are and the different TMKs that the complex covers. In the past year, I would say, one of the lineal descendants has discovered more documents, a quick claim deed that the federal government has provided a lease to 57 acres to the University of Hawaii, Manoa, and part of the burial complex is on their land. So this letter that I wrote was written on behalf of Keiki, Kealoha Kekipi, and he has reached out and had started correspondence with Lisa Oshiro Subanuma. She works for the Department of Interior at the Office of Hawaiian Relations Office. And I apologize that I didn't send you guys the PDF background documents as the thread that initiated this letter. And when I go home, I'll send the PDF to Kea and Chris, and they can send it out to the burial council members. So you'll see what I'm referring to. So in 1988, the quick claim deed was drafted and issued, and the lease still defines the federal government as proper owners of this area and will have in perpetuity responsibilities and kuleana to the road and access. So all this letter is asking is for these three questions. What are the provisions that she talks about in her last correspondence of federal environment and historic preservation laws to this UH property? In 2018 was the 30-year lease expiration. But because there was no formal agreement that they're recognizing the expiration, it's still in effect. So that's what that 2018 question date is. And what were the laws applicable in effect pre-1999? That was the time, the first desecration of the EV. And what are the current protections and assurances? So this letter, I just wanted to have come from Burial Council because the lineal descendant asked if we would please send a letter on behalf of Kumukahi and burials and this unresolved issue. And so I just wrote, you know, a pretty basic, easy to get to, you know, communication to Lisa Suganuma. And I wanted everyone to take a look at it and get your ideas or thoughts or, you know, review, edits, critics, you know, so we can make it pono and coming from all of us. And then my last question was we would sign it, not sign it, but maybe we could just do a typed message and then it can leave Chip D's office with either the state seal and we can mail it to Lisa, or we can have Kea send it from the Hawaii.gov email from Ship D to her email address. That's my background update. I'm here for any questions or thoughts, or and Keiki and Keone are here too.
I have a question. So procedurally, what do we need to make a motion, or I mean, to be done? That was done.
No.
Yeah, okay.
We have to consult with everybody because we're a council, not just okay. Just me. And Keone wasn't initially asking this letter. It came straight from Keiki. But if Keone wants me to add his name to this, he's here right now. And we can add his name also as a person who's inquiring a lineal descendant. Or he can say he opposes, you know, he's there, I see him.
I was just wondering if maybe adding to the requested information item two, where they applicable and in effect in 1999. I was thinking, since you know me and you had a discussion on 1999, if we could add in effect in 1999 when the desecration of these grave sites were first noticed, just add that, at least give us some kind of clarity without the PDF files. I don't know. That's just my mano on that.
That's good. I can do that.
And also, I want to ask Keiki about the federal environmental and historic preservation laws that she mentions. Does this go on the NAGPRA? Because we're talking these federal parts.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Whenever federal is
his neck, Helena, I have a question.
Good luck.
I know that we were talking about it last meeting. My biggest question is I think the information we're requesting is really good. My biggest question is within the Department of Interior, and you know, federal, who, what entity is the landowner? Because that's a, DOI is so big, you know, and I'm not super familiar, and maybe it's in some of the things you've been reading through. Or not landowner, but what federal entity are we specifically wanting to address? Like, do we know who exactly? Because obviously the DOI is the head of it, but where does, what jurisdiction within the federal government, within the DOI, does this fall under? Do you know?
LIB State Historic Preservation. We also have the advisory council that informs this. But right now, the lady we're writing back to is the Office of Hawaiian Relations. So she is an appropriate communication venue for us to be contacting. But no, it's not that it won't be, that's not, I get what your question is, but as soon as it starts funneling, it'll go right to the right person. Probably has to do with NAGPRA and historic preservation laws.
Well, I guess the only reason I'm asking that is, as far as requesting information, I kind of want, I know it'll trickle down to that. And we seem to know, you know, all of the other parties involved, OHA and Shifty and stuff like that. I just, I'm just curious what, you know, which federal entity is involved in this? Who are the what federal agency within the DOI is, you know, I guess that's my question, because it just, I'm so curious as to how, like, what federal agency has gotten away with, but has been, had this shared kuleana with whomever else, whatever other stakeholders of this space, what federal entity was responsible, because then it also guides us knowing not only NAGPRA, but I mean, Section 106, like they've got so many things that they've got so many parts of their process that they have to adhere to as federal, you know, agencies. But I'm kind of curious, is it within the DOI? Is it the Park Service? I'm sure, I don't think it is. Is it U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service? Like, or is it just the DOI in general? Which, you know, it'd be odd to me.
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's the Department of Interior. That's the big umbrella. Right. And it's federal historic preservation laws. So it'll be the Historic Preservation Department, which is probably affiliated with the advisory council that that's like a board that's nominated by the president. So I wouldn't worry about too much where it goes, because we know it will go to the right people. And it's not, as long as we know, hey, you guys, this is your INA. This is the land you are supposedly have kuleana to. You've been used it for 30 years. Burials have been desecrated. We've been in this loop for 20 years now. So sorry for our lineal descendants still trying to resolve it and find out who owns this responsibility. So I think it will go to LISA. It'll be going to the Office of Hawaiian Relations, which is under the Department of Interior. And they have the same clout as the Bureau of Indian, I think, you know, Indian Affairs. We will fall under a tribal umbrella that activates and triggers a response.
Okay, thank you. I think it's just, yeah, once we get, if when you're able to send Kia stuff, it's also just because I don't know enough about it. So I'm like, kind of have a lot of more questions. So I think what you wrote is really good. I don't have really much input because I don't think I understand it enough, but maybe if anything after Kia gets us that the other documentation you're talking about, if anything comes to mind, I'll throw it your way, but it looks really good.
Okay, and I will get that PDF.
I think the main focus is it's addressed to LISA in the Hawaiian Relations Office and all that, because we need clarity. We're not making statements. We're just asking for clarity on questions we had with her response to Keiki. So
yeah.
I think that's the main grasp of this letter here is just for clarity on these three items that we discussed.
Yeah, She did say,
and
yes.
Then once we get that, then we can move on to maybe other things. But
right, she did say that definitely that that quit claim was valid, and that yes, the ownership falls under the federal government. And then she, one question she did ask that I tried to look up was, were the burials desecrated, the ones on the property, the 57 acres? And I do believe it is. I was looking at the BTP, and it fall, the burial like falls over two TMKs. So it's right in the middle. The, I forget the burial number. It's right. It's written in the letter. 21792 is one of the burials. So, but what I'm so sorry I didn't send the PDF to you guys. You'll have more clarity. And then KP brought in this big fat document, which I said I will speak to you guys about this, that he would like us to become familiar with. It's the Federal Historic Preservation Laws, the official compilation of U.S. cultural heritage status, edition 2018. So maybe we can get a PDF electronic file that can be shared so we can all have a copy of this for our own resource library.
I think we should read that entire book into the record.
Yeah. And you should have a copy.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I kind of echo what Lau was talking about. And that's my concern, too, is that, you know, when you mention the word federal, somehow it gets lost in the file. The priorities are being lost. And that would be a good question. Who does it go to? Because we've been, our lineal descendants, according to the record, they've been waiting for 20 years. You know, I don't want to wait another 20 years. So, I mean, if I'm correct on that line, just I want to know where it's going so that we can actually... Yeah. Does that make sense?
I can read one passage that Kiki just opened the page to. It's on from this book, American Indian Religious Freedom Act.
And this is to 2018.
For the purposes of this order, federal lands, this is for your question, Law. Federal lands means any land or interest in land owned by the United States, including leasehold interests held by the United States, except Indian trust lands. Sacred site means any specific, discrete, narrowly delineated location on federal land that is identified by an Indian tribe or Indian individual determined to be an appropriately authoritative representative of an Indian religion as sacred by virtue of its established religious significance to or ceremonial use by an Indian religion, provided that the tribe or appropriately authoritative representative of an Indian religion has informed the agency of the existence of such a site. So we are where we're supposed to be. I see Trayvon.
No,
I have a quick question about this. It was my understanding that we don't fall under the Bureau of Indian Affairs. We're not recognized as Native Americans or anything like that in the eyes of the U.S. government, and so that's not applicable to us.
No. I was using it as an example for Law. She was trying to find out what...
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. No, I like what you said, and I was saying you got some more information, but you say the correct thing. It's not applicable to us. We come from Maole. We're not Indians. And this is not tribal lands. This is ancestral land. I gotta send you guys some information so you can get the cultural perspective and dealing specifically with Kumukahi and in regards to the federal properties. Yeah, so give me that, right?
I wanted to apologize for using Indian Affairs. Please erase that from what came out of my mouth, because I can see it's triggered people, and I know what you said, Trayvon, is correct, and same with Kiki. I was just trying to provide a different example so that we didn't have to be concerned. So we can move back.
Real quick, that was part of the Akaka bill.
Exactly. Sorry.
And in referral, I mean, it's good for knowledge that, you know, that we could fall under that, but like Kiki said, we're not.
We're not. And
that's why the question is, what agency and this huge family they call Department of Interior, where it's going to go? means we cannot wait 20 more years.
Okay, wait. Just let me remind you guys. Raise your hand when you guys want to talk. La, go ahead.
So,
that you doesn't.
Thank you, Colana. I definitely understand. You know, and for Shriven, for we don't fall into the Bureau of Indian Affairs. We do NAGPRA is applicable to us, which benefits us, right? And that's helpful. But when we're looking at this property, I think my question kind of stemmed from, because when we received that letter from you guys, from you, Kalena, I did look up the TMK. I know the property itself is state owned and then leased out to Andy Trang. And then but there was conversation about this federal ownership. And I think what I misunderstood is that you're actually speaking on the burial itself being afforded those federal protections. Is that, I think I just misunderstood.
I think it's going to come down to that. But the fact is, we still have 57 acres. It was put in, so 58, so we could have a lighthouse, that Coast Guard lighthouse. So the sheer fact that the whole part is including a road, the lighthouse, and everyone's passing all the burial complexes.
Okay, I understand.
The responsibility that the U.S. is going to have to face, because they're the ones that open the road, put in the lighthouse, lease that 58 acres to the university, whether half the burial is on another property or not. I think it's still going to come to that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, this letter is going to initiate all the conversations we need to have. So I think it looks really great. I think after this letter, there's a stem of other questions that shoot up in my brain, because if the Coast Guard had the lighthouse, then there's got to be some sort of easement for the federal government. And then you've got the state landowner and the lessee and all these different players in it. It really comes down to, or what it sounds like, is it's not just federal, state, and private, or lessee, but county as well. So I think that all, with that all, again, like you said, Kalena, can be addressed after this first letter goes out. So it looks good to me. I appreciate that.
Go ahead, Trina.
Yeah, mahalo for putting this together. The only thing that I'd ask after this discussion we're having is that, what if we throw in the question, you know, who is responsible for these things as an additional question? Like what department, what division of DOI or whoever? That way we know the answer, and then we can go directly to the source if, you know, Office of Foreign Relations takes 3 years to get back to us.
I'm adding it. Yeah, I'll add that question, a fourth bullet.
Okay. Go ahead,
Omeo. Since we're on the subject of Kumukahi, just put it on the record again, that there are other entities that's trying to invade Kumukahi. There are several comments made that there's desecration there. Well, since the Royal Order has been down there, we built Oahu, we mean the children there, they conduct protocols and rituals there. But there was claims that this state agency claimed that they're working with the owners there. And I spoke with the owners, and they are not working with that state agency. And we had a brief meeting with those owners, and they wanted to make it clear, we're not working with those people. We're working with the lineal descendants. So there is also outside influences that's trying to come into Kumukahi. And I think this direction we're going in will hopefully clear up the storm that's on the horizon. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to put that on the record.
One of the main problems with this whole Kumukahi thing is the federal part and the state part. You know, what part comes at 1 point? I mean, at 0.129 acres, is that the lighthouse section? Keiki, is that the part that still federal under the U.S. government that wasn't leased?
It's all still under the federal government. The lease is expired in 2018, but it says, if you read the quit claim deed, that even as it expires, if there is no formal transfer back, the federal government still holds the The land. And I'll send that. You guys will get it tonight. You'll get
that. I think I have that.
Yeah, the quick claim. Read that one, Law. That'll give you, you know, more details.
Okay.
So,
the main problem is, according to this letter, it seems like it has to do with the easement, because that's where the bypassing and all need a graze and all that stuff. That's where we're running out of, you know, being able to control that traffic, right, Kiki? Is that easement that nobody seems to take in Culiacana and stopping. Was that your main concern? Was just the traffic that's desecrating the area?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe Keone Calavia is coming.
Yeah, Keone.
Hey, aloha. I just want to share clarity, okay? So there's actually three cemeteries down there. And the one closest to the Makai, the shoreline, those were desecrated. And the second cemetery, it's a combination of owners. So it's the federal / UH. Then you have the state of Hawaii has one slid there. And then the other one third is the private landowner. The third cemetery is entirely on private property. Our concern is that all the three cemeteries are actually or has been desecrated. Also, the access road from up on top, what they called Four Corners, coming down, that is actually a major concern, because a lot of people are accessing around the boulders. They're leaving trash, you know, using, you know, the toilet and toilet paper all over the place. And, you know, one of the cemeteries is very, very close to the road. And so for me, once a month, I walk from the top all the way down to the lighthouse, all the way down, check the cemeteries, and come all the way back to the top. Because I want to know if there's continued desecration of the three cemeteries down there. And yeah, that's all I have to share. And I just want to thank each and every one of you guys to help us resolve this problem.
Thank you, Keone.
So, Scott, maybe we can make a motion, somebody, not me, to go ahead and approve this letter with the changes, and that will be adding to bullet number three, number two, in 1999 when the desecration occurred, and then adding a fourth bullet, who is responsible for this land and desecration? I'll figure out an appropriate wording for that sentence. And then I don't know, Kea, how we formalize it so it comes from burial council. I write the draft and give it to you, and you just write all of our names. We don't have to sign it.
What I'm thinking is you can just send me the finished copy in a PDF. What I can do is I can use e-sign, and I'll send it to all the council members to individually sign.
Okay.
I move to accept this letter as stated by council member Elena Bigmore.
I'll second.
Call for the vote.
It was moved by it was moved by Desmond to accept the motion, and second by Law. Any discussion? The only thing I have I wanted to discuss is that should we wait for the final draft of this letter, or are you just going to send them all out to us individually? Because since you're making changes, it's kind of hard for agreeing to the letter. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to add to those two.
I couldn't
bullets.
Hear you.
I'm going to add to the two bullets that one point you made about the year when the desecrations occurred, and then I'm going to add that other fourth bullet, a question about, you know, who is responsible for this particular land use, and I'll pull the words right out of the deed, you know, because that's, I'll use their words, and then just ask who's responsible for this area. I think it'll be okay. I think it shouldn't be too complicated. Yep. And then Kea can send it out for e-signature.
Yeah, at that point, when when we get it before we sign over it again.
Yeah, you don't like it.
Yeah, we can always do it again, but I think we can do it from Kea's office, right?
Okay.
No, I don't have responsibility. I don't want him doing more work. If there's an edit that needs to be I'll change him.
Okay. When it's finalized,
send it out.
I'll just send it out. Just be careful to not discuss it in the email. I mean, if you don't think we need another meeting to discuss the letter, it's ready to go. Send it to me. I can send out the copy. If anybody has concerns, just let me know directly. I'll let Kalina know what changes to make. She can make the changes, and we can repeat the process until necessary. Hopefully, it doesn't need that many amendments or edits or revisions. And once it's good to go, then I'll let everybody know, okay, I'm sending it out for e-signing.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
That's good. Any other discussion?
Open the vote.
All right, Kiki. Okay, call for the vote. All in favor, say hi or raise your hand.
Aye.
All right, I have it. Unanimous. The motion passes.
Thanks, everybody. I appreciate you.
Kiki. Thanks for your hard work, Kalina.
Thank you. Good work, Kalina. Awesome. Yeah. Lunch next time. You're going to see in this book, Native American and Federal Empire, all of these protecting, all of these things. Like he said, we don't come under that. So being neglected and constantly being desecrated. So mahalo for you guys helping adjust this ongoing problem. And one thing I wanted to make to you, bring back to your mind, Mr. Chair and the Council, is that this still have an open criminal case on the desecration from 99 that was written by the late enforcement, James Weller.
Yeah.
So still get a criminal case that's still open. That the police and all these guys is never been closed. So we're planning to stop that. That's why we come to you. We get the only council culturally that gets make an independent decision based on the group for the people and the protection. And when you want a protection, constantly. That's why I gotta keep coming back. Sorry, Dad, but to you. And so I will get more information and send them to collect about the cultural part, our perspective. Okay? Thank you. Mahalo.
Thank you, Kiki. Mahalo.
Thank you.
All right, okay.
Mahalo. Okay, moving on, item B, discussion of Hawaii Island Borough Council membership. Any discussion on anything you guys want to bring up?
Sorry, at this point, you know, going between Hilo and Kahu.
La, go ahead, La. Hold on, La.
No, all good. Uncle Des can go first.
Okay, Desmond.
He's in charge.
You know, I think we talked about this earlier, that we're here to serve our community, our Lahui, and mainly on our Iwi Kupuna. And then we should go there. Like when my family came from Miloli'i, I had to have them inconvenience, especially bringing my uncle, who's 89 years old, to go to Kona and hopefully maybe go to Kau or Kohala. But I think we should be holding our meetings. We can still go Zoom for some of us, but that's my manao on that. Amen.
Yes. Go ahead, La.
Yeah, I guess I want to cockle that because, you know, it's been, I've asked every meeting for some time if we can have just a meeting at the Kona. At a Kona location, just so that we're going two sides of the island. And, you know, I understand you know, our burial specialists are in Hilo. We get council members in Hilo.
Cool.
But, you know, as burial council members, our responsibility, again, as Uncle Dad said, it's to the descendants, it's to the mo'opuna, these Ibi that we're protecting. So when we continue to meet in Hilo, when we have Zoom and we say that Zoom, everyone can join in, we're creating an accessibility issue for kupuna who don't have access to technology, or accessibility issues for people who don't get internet at home. And then just even that, when they talk on there and they're having connectivity issues during meetings, we miss critical parts of their testimony. And at the end of the day, if descendants are from Miloli'i, or if they're from Kohala, if they're down in Ka'u, our responsibility is to them, not to us. If we have a problem with driving out there, then we don't belong on this council, because the whole reason we're here is to serve that community, to serve these descendants and make sure that they are supported. And part of supporting them means going to them for these meetings. So I want to really reiterate that and support what Uncle Des was saying. And I kind of, you know, if we have to make a motion as a council to agree to do that, then that's something I'm willing to do, because it's been 3 years for me of us just having Zoom meetings and meeting in Hilo. So it's a little bit shame for us if we keep doing that and we don't make the effort to go to these spaces, especially when we get Kona Ohana, South Kona people, making them drive all the way to Hilo so that they can be recognized and be in person with us when they want to be. We should be at least coming a Kona for them and meeting them in their moku.
Is that it? None? Okay. But I think, you know, logistically, wait, hold on, I'm talking. You look at it, you just want people to be able to converse in the situation. Another thing is simple. The reason this meeting did not go to Kona was because we only had two items. So now, you know, if you really go out to the people, right, the ancestors and all that, then we got to go to Kau.
Yeah.
We should go to Kau. We went to all these places. We had meetings in Kau, Waimea, Kohala, where we had them all over the place because of Zoom, you know, and it got comfortable and easy. There's a lot of people. What about the ones on the other islands that have to come in for descendancy? How do you address them if just being in person is the focus point of this? I think I agree with you guys. You know, if we have an agenda with a lot of people coming from Kona or a lot of people coming from Kohala, we should try and set up our meetings there. But sometimes logistically, like today, we only have one testimony and the letter from Kumukai. So that's why we stayed exactly how it was. I agree with Desmond and Law. You know, we should have it, you know, and however we can work it out. But I don't think we should just set them. But then later on, we had a big, big meeting down in Kau. A lot of people wanted to come. So we had our meetings down there. But I think every meeting gonna have to decide, the location gonna have to decide on what's on the agenda, to me anyway. That's my mind all. So anybody else?
I agree with that. Yeah, valid point.
Yeah, I just wanted to agree with Scott that today we didn't have enough on the agenda with people on Kona side that would require us to have our meeting on that side, or Ka'u or Waimea. It's all pretty much here, Puna side, Hilo side. And it has to be with intention. It can't just be, oh, we're going to be fair, so this month we go to Waimea, next month Ka'u. It has to be, where are the burials? Where are the descendants that are going to meet with us? Because we want to make sure we're serving them and meeting them. Not, oh, not this month, because we're going to be in Waimea, even though it's South Kona that is requesting, you know, our attention and being on the agenda. So I don't think we need to vote about it, Law. I think we all want to be where our people are and where the EBR that need to be, protected. It's just circumstances and intention.
Yeah, I'm going to try to work with Kia on this on the next meeting, see what the agenda looks like, too. And if it's in a favorable spot where we can address the people that, that's involved, then I think we should try and locate there. You know, so but it's all going to depend on the to me the people coming. You know, what's convenient. If they're all in Hilo, I'm not going to Kona. You know, I'd rather come to Hilo or vice versa. You know, so I'll try and work closely with KLM and try and see how what the agenda going to look like, and then where where's the best spot for us to do this. Okay, go ahead, La.
I hope that that wasn't. I hope that that was understood too. And what I was saying is, that's exactly what I feel is that our agenda should dictate where our meetings are. And I understand why we met the way we did today. The last two meetings we had, I want to say if not three was Kona, and we were in Hilo. That kind of thing I think is where you know, especially because. It's just place-based. So if the agenda items are for that place, then that's what our priority should be, is to go into that place, not to, but we don't go anywhere but Hilo. So that's what I'm kind of saying is, I'll drive wherever we got to drive.
Okay, great. Thanks. Anybody else?
There's some comments.
Hey, moving on. Good.
Technology, I mean, before I was embarrassingly, you still have to cancel meeting. This was where you get a quorum. But at least this way, you guys can make sure you got a quorum. And I understand. Like you said, don't get blamed back, don't come out. You don't get site visit in those areas, like you said. And you don't go with a community. That's the appropriate time, but that's them. You want to heal up. Something will happen. That's when you're going to be going to that community. And going to be island wide. Somebody's going to come up, the other going to come up, and then everybody going to have to check up on site visit. So then you guys can go to that area. That's part of your job.
Well, that points to the main problem. That points to our main problem, and that is the actual Borough Council guys appointing new members. We need to cover the whole island. We filling in, we'd be in law filling in Kohala, Kona. You know, because we don't have memberships there. So, you know, that has a lot to do with the governor's office. They got to step up and fill our spots. They short everybody. You know, all these borough councils are short. That's all we fighting for. How many meetings? Must have canceled like five of them last year, just from quorum. So, anyway, yeah.
Uncle Scott, just to clarify, I am Kona now. It's just they're in the process of paperwork processing. So we did the nomination for that. Yeah. So we're that.
Yeah.
That
all part, good. Perfect.
So now we just need Kohala, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And then we will need landowners. You know, we there's two of us missing all the laws out of that. So we still need representation island wide anyway. And, you know, a lot of the blame has to do with the boards and commissions. And all those guys, but anyway, let's move on here. Communications. I hope I never lose Dave. I mean, he's still there.
Come back.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, on communications, we have a request by Damien Kennison to consult with the Hawaii Island Borough Council to discuss Ivi Kupuna concerns at Hokena Beach Park and the Palianihi Cliff located in Hokena and Kauhako, Aupua, South Kona District. Go ahead, Damien. Damien, you there? I'll try and reach him.
Looked like he was in his car.
Yeah.
He got disconnected again.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Damon?
So, I
she's
trying to get back on now.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, we should take our time.
Give him a few minutes. Oh, Damon, you there?
Yeah.
Good. Oh, you're coming all broke up, Damon. Yeah, now good.
No, Scott, I could also, while they're trying to get back on, I could just read this articulated letter that he submitted. So it's on our minutes. And
okay.
Serving. But I can read for them, for Damien, if he wants. And then once, if he gets his connectivity, then he can speak.
Okay, Damien, we're going to have your letter read first. And then hopefully he can get back on.
Okay.
You can hear it. Okay. Hello. So Kalina gonna read the letter for us.
Okay.
All right. Aloha, Damien. Aloha, no kako. This letter is from Damien Kennison, sent to Hawaii Burial Council for our meeting this month. My name is Damien Kennison. I live in Ho'okena, South Kona, Hawaii Island. I've been involved in community kuleana for 30 years and managed the campground at Ho'okena Beach Park from 2007. 2014 with friends of Ho'okena Beach Park. In 2010, a child's skull had been removed from a cave above the beach. The person had rappelled down from the top, entered the cave, removed the skull, and moved two surfboards to the entrance. The person left the EV down at the Ho'okena Beach Park campground. DLNR was notified, but someone took it upon himself to re-enter the EV somewhere else. This desecration has been occurring for a long time. My wife's uncle, Roland Krasafi, told me he stopped some people who were trying to climb into one of the caves in the 1960s. In the cave by my house, there's a small canoe with a child's skull inside and a number of adult skulls on a rock shelf. I've not lived at that house for over 12 years and am not aware if anyone else has entered the cave. The cave at the north end of the beach is a favorite place for people who like to sit at the entrance and party. It is listed on the internet as a place to go. The old Puka'ana Church, located in the Ahupua'a of Ho'okena, has a graveyard that has been looted by drug addicts. Mauka of the church, there are coffins at the base of the cliff, which are in a crevasse and are covered with rocks. That may be part of the Board of Health, where Hansen's disease patients were retained. Mr. Alex Kadang, a former teacher, vice principal at Konawaina High School, told me that he had helped Bishop Museum or Kamehameha Schools inventory the caves at Pali'anihi. A number of years ago, a pohaku pu'ula was taken from Kauhako and sold to Huluhei Palace and is there today. It was used to attract akule to the shore to feed the village. The disrespectful actions mentioned above negatively impacted our community. The lineal descendants and longtime residents are losing their connection to the beach. Although programs and projects have started off well, our community efforts to Malamaka'aina, Ikekai, have been unsuccessful. Most of our families do not understand how important it is to Malama Nakupuna Ivi and feel it is someone else's kuleana to do so. I wrote an article in the Civil Beat about this issue that they entitled Our Aina Needs an Old-Fashioned Ho'okena, a cleansing. In 2020, with the help of my ohana, I started a nonprofit Kauhako Ohana Association, whose stated goals are to perpetuate our opelu fishing, canoe fishing culture, and Malama Nakupuna Ivi at Ho'okena Kauhako. Without a spiritual healing or culture and traditions, without it, our spiritual healing, our culture and traditions will be lost. Mahalo, Damian Kennison. Thank you for your correspondence.
Hey, mahalo for reading that, you know. But the whole ceremony for Kumkai, my internet was good. As soon as was my turn, I started getting problems. So, you know, I feel that we neglected our upono so long, our taivi, that it's affecting our community, our families physically. We're starting to lose our connection to the beach, which my wife's family had owned at one time before they took it to make the park. So, you know, we had somebody on the burial council before that represented us, but he didn't feel that the Kupuna'iwi was worth our time and effort to Malama. So throughout the years, I've been trying to get our organization, Kupuna Beach Park, to do something about it, but I was unsuccessful. So I started with the help of my nephews and my son. We started our own nonprofit to try and address that issue. You know, the burials, some of them are promoted on the internet as a place to go and to visit. Throughout the years, I don't know how much of the EV and the artifacts have been removed, but I know Alex Kadang once told me they inventoried the contents of the caves. So I'm sure the Egypt Museum has a record of that. But my feeling, and it is something that a lot of our families and residents, share. They feel that someone else will be doing this, but nobody else is. And I think it's more important than trying to protect our fisheries, which we're in the middle of doing. I think if we don't take care of our Kupuna'iwi, we're not going to be successful in anything we do. So we're just looking for a direction on how to navigate the process. I tried to go on the SHPTI website, but it's very complicated. And I'm just appreciative for Eile to put me on the agenda on such short notice. So we're just looking for help to see what our first steps should be. Mahalo.
Thank you, Damien. Any comments, discussion? Go ahead, Draven.
Was there any response from DoeCare about any of the stuff that was removed, any reports made? I see that DLNR was notified. That someone reinserted somewhere else or put some of the EV elsewhere, but was there any sort of response from them and follow up?
Damon, I think he froze up.
Yeah, to the person.
But I might have lost them.
Where's Law? She's the Kona rep. Is there any way Law could go do a site visit and speak to the family as a burial council representative from Kona?
I don't know where La is. La, oh. Yeah.
La got disconnected. She says she's having Wi-Fi issues.
You know, to
Damon, we had a suggestion from the council that maybe I'll give your contact to La. She represents the Kona district, and maybe she can get more insight and visit the site and stuff and talk start with you, and then we can work it from there. Okay. See what we can do after that.
Okay.
Is that good?
Good.
Okay. I'll contact you and I'll put you together with La. And then she'll help you out. And then we all can help you out in the end. We'll help the whole can of people out. But thank you for your concern for the EV. That's the same fight Kiki and everybody else is trying to get attention to. So thank you. Okay. Well.
Mahalo. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Damien.
Thank you, Damien. Awesome. Mahalo.
Okay, next, anything else? Okay, our next HIBC meeting is going to be Thursday, May 16th at 9:30. Any motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn by Desmond, second by Kalena. And any discussion? Call for the vote. All in favor, raise your hand.
Aye.
All right, mahalo, everybody. Motion passed. Meeting adjourned. Talk to you guys later.